open your Bibles, if you will, your tablet, or just listen ahead here. It might be on the screen, I'm not sure. Psalm 29. Psalm of David. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of the glorious thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Siron, like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hens of calves, discovereth the forest, and in his temple does every one speak his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto the people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Anybody's Bible not say unicorn? It's always a good joke for somebody who you want to argue that there's no such thing as a unicorn. Grab a King James Bible and show them that it says it. It'll probably say goat or something crazy like that. It's always pretty interesting. Same with the word dragon, by the way. The raging storm can trigger several emotions within us. The bellowing thunder, the howling winds, the sudden strikes of lightning can produce immense amount of fear and sometimes a sense of awe. I said this earlier, how many of us, when there's a tornado coming close, what do? We don't really run and hide. We go outside and look. We're not supposed to. Don't do that. Take shelter, but we don't. We're going to look and see where it's at. We're going to look outside. Ah, there it is, right there. So that gives us that sense of awe. However, these same elements, when subdued, can have a calming effect on our spirits. The rhythm of the steady rain. Who likes sleeping in the rain? Nothing beats that. Sleeping in the rain, hearing the rain hit your windows or your tin roof there. It's amazing. I've been in quite a few tents sleeping and listening to a rain before. It's awesome. The rhythm of a steady rain is a gentle thunders that actually puts us to sleep. But whether turbulent times or peaceful times, at some point most of us have been awestruck by the beauty and the majesty of a storm. Scripture clearly teaches that God has revealed himself to us through his creation, and nothing testifies to the unlimited power of the Lord more convincingly than a storm. And that's Romans 1:20. So as David watched this fierce storm coming in, just tearing the land across, one cool thing about being in Arizona, you can see forever. I mean, you can see mountain range. They look like they're right there. They're like 10 miles away. It's just flat as could be. But you can also see the rain come in. You can see it literally rain across the street and completely sunshine where you're at. The rain will just come right in and completely miss you. It's pretty interesting. So David watched as this storm approaches, and he caught a glimpse of God and heard the renouncing voice of God Almighty in the clashes of thunder. And in this song of praise, David declares God's glory and greatness in this great view that he sees. While these applications are just surely made, there's very one clear message in this passage. Anybody can guess? Of course not. The voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is prominent. It appears 7 times in 11 verses. David pens this praise song to stir us up what he saw in the storm. The glory and the power of God. Verse 1 and 2. Call on both angels and people to worship the Lord and him alone. David began this psalm by calling the mighty and to glorify God. Most commentators and most people who study the Bible longer than a day, I'm one of them here, believe that this term, mighty men, refers to angels. The Hebrew word literally means sons of God, and sons of God are the mighty ones, or the mighty ones. Refer to angels. Everywhere else in the New Testament, I always say everywhere, I would say 100%, but I'm never 100% on everything. 99.9%, because there's always one little person that wants to argue with you. David called upon the all to give and ascribe glory and strength to the Lord. This verb here, for the worshipers offer sacrifice and praise to the Lord. That is, they were actually in the presence declaring his glory and his might. David presents a striking image here, a mighty image. Whether angels or rulers, we all should declare that the greatness of the Lord. We should honor him and give him his due glory. One way God reveals his character and the power is through his names. The name of God specified here is Yahweh, Jehovah, God's covenant name. The name Jehovah proclaims God's faithfulness in redeeming and delivering us from our enemies. The Lord is holy, and we cannot enter his presence unless we are also holy. For example, the prophet Isaiah had a glorious vision of God sitting upon the throne, and he was surrounded by special angels who were assigned to proclaim and protect God's holiness. Before Isaiah could approach the Lord, his sin had to be purged. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 7. The account stresses that God's glory and holiness contrast dramatically from us. We are nothing if it wasn't for God. Absolutely nothing. Everything we do must be careful to give God's glory, never conveying his glory upon ourselves. And we do that. We do something good. We think something's great. Someone says, good job. And we instantly, oh, we're going to take credit for that. No, that was God that did that for us. We didn't do that. Jesus instructs us here to let our light shine throughout the world, performing good works in order for God to receive the glory. We are to reflect his glory because he transformed our lives. We exist for God's glory. Therefore, we should be careful to honor him in everything we think, everything we say, and everything we do. We should always give God glory, God praise, and God worship, because he alone is due it. Let your light shine before men, that they may see good works and glorify your name which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Praise the Lord for his commanding authority over nature. God set up the laws that control nature. David hears God's voice through the storm. The picture is the Lord calling forth a powerful storm as it is formed over the waters, and it comes into the sea, comes into the desert. The grandest objects on earth, such as the cedars of Lebanon. The only way that I can describe it is the sequoia trees out in Oregon and California. We've all seen the pictures of a car, Volkswagen Beetle mostly, that's going right through a tree. Just imagine that for a second. Those trees had to be made in order for the temple to be built. It's pretty interesting. But they were the grandest thing on earth. And David's saying here that they were nothing according to the storm. God just picked them up and threw them like toothpicks, like they're nothing. Mountains. Mountains are viewed as a fortress, and strength and security are likewise no match for the might of the Lord. Lightning. Something about the word lightning. When I arrived to the country of Kuwait, trying to think what year this was, 2003, I think, I'm not 100% sure. It was just before Operation Iraqi Freedom started off. We get there and they brief you. When I landed, we were just in a regular soft cap and just regular, pretty much how I'm dressed now. And they brief you. The next morning we get up. The next morning we were full battle rattle. Kevlar weapon, NBC gear, just like you're fixing to go into combat. And all we did was went to sleep and woke up. No idea what happened. Well, they brief you and say, okay, we're going to say, you're going to hear over the loudspeaker the word lightning. You used to hear the word training, but we're not going to use the word training anymore. We heard the word lightning, just like a code word coming off the intercom. That means there's an inbound missile to your location. Take cover. Then just kind of fast forward a few hours. We went through the little briefing. We're eating lunch. And what we found out in between then and there is Operation Iraqi Freedom actually started while we were there. So we're a little bit behind the battle line, so we don't know anything yet. We're just sitting there eating the most disgusting chili and rice I've ever eaten in my entire life. And then you hear over the loudspeaker, lightning, lightning, lightning. And for about a second, everybody just looked at each other and said, you can just see the look like, isn't that the word that saying we're fixing to be destroyed? And then it was total chaos because we had to go to mop gear and everyone's throwing everything around to get all the way into mop. But so when I hear the word lightning, that's what I think of. Sorry. The lightning accompanying the storm's roaring thunder, David also heard the mighty voice of the Lord in this brilliant electrical flashes. The lightning, like a flaming arrow, scorched the earth beneath it, declaring the infinite power of God who reigns above all and all the earth. David describes the storm sweeping over the sea, through the forest, across the mountains, and into the wilderness like a desert. Like a violent earthquake, the mighty voice of the Lord comes across the barren earth. The mighty storm devastated the nature, demonstrating God's power over his own creation. Whose Bible verses had deer in it? Sometimes they translate the word calves as deer as well. But the thought process behind that is a deer out in the wilderness getting scared that she has her baby. She has her baby out of fear. It just pops out. But the point here is that the mighty voice of the Lord rules over all creation. The display of God's awesome power should steer us up to worship. We should shout glory. We should shout glory and praise to his name. If we look here, we see three dwelling places. The heavenly temple, the earthly temple, and then there's one you actually have to pay attention to or you'll miss it. Living temples. The place where God's presence is manifested is within us, his people. Every part of us should cry out for the glory of God. The Holy Spirit, if you call him ours, if he calls us, he should be inside us. So we are the temple of God. God controls the overwhelming circumstances and also the storms and the storms of our lives. While we sometimes have to endure literal storms like tornadoes or hurricanes and floods, we also have to deal with accidents, we were talking earlier. We have to deal with a little 2.5-year-old kid getting smashed by a farming equipment. That's the reality of life. We have to deal with disabilities, poverty and crime, persecution, and sometimes disappointment. Disappointment in our lives. We have to understand that God is in control of the storms of our lives as well. He controls the weather, but he's controlling every little thing that's happening right now. He's placed every single one of us together in this room right now for his purpose. But we must learn to listen for the Lord's voice in times of distress. We're remembering that we are in his care. He is aware of every threat that we face. And he has promised his presence and his power to help us through every trial in life. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from his power and his presence, which are there to help us face our trials in life. And he will use all the storms to accomplish his divine mission and his promise for us. So we need to give him praise. It seems kind of silly, but when I found out my father died, besides I kind of collapsed a little bit, I didn't actually fall all the way to the ground. But the first thing I said was, praise God, he's not in pain anymore. I think it kind of threw my mom off a little bit. Then I remember standing in the back of the church, just kind of standing in the back of the church there. Everybody's walking in, going up to the casket. I'm standing in the back talking to my friends, and everybody was thinking I was in shock. They're like, it's okay, you can grieve. And I'm laughing at these people. And internally, I'm just like chuckling, like, what is wrong with you? You call yourself a Christian. And if you call yourself a Christian, and you're confident that the person that passed away is a Christian, well, that should be our focus. Yeah, it's sad. We break down. Of course it happens. I told somebody recently who was passing away, hey, you know, you tell my mom and dad, I said hi. As soon as I said it, I start tearing up. But if we're absolutely convinced that all this that we're reading and we're talking is true, then that should be our primary focus, right? A brother and sister in Christ dies, we should rejoice. The little baby, we know we're going to see that baby again. He'll be right up there, greeting us. And that should be our primary focus. But our flesh gets in the way a lot. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there stood a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what manner of men is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Matthew 8, 26 and 27. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons of the deep, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Psalms 148, 6 and 7. We live in a time where the witness of creation has been mocked, replaced by theories of evolution. I don't even know. There's so many nonsense that goes on nowadays, I can't even keep up. But we understand that Satan's hand is obvious. By scorning the truth of the Creator God, the first witness of himself to humanity, the first witness of himself to humanity, so we can follow it. That's why I think the book of Genesis is so important, like any other book of the Bible. You can judge a person on how they react to the creation account. That's God's account. His first account of himself to us. He didn't have to put that in the Bible, but he did. He put the creation account in the Bible so we can learn about him through his act. He didn't have to do that. But Satan attacks it immediately. The first thing that God put together for us to show his glory, we attack it with science that God created. But as true followers of the Lord, we must stand firm on God's word and declare the truth of his authority over nature as the creator and sustainer of all that we see. We must boldly teach our children and grandchildren that God created all things and rules over them. We must water the seed that God himself has planted in every human heart and testify unashamed of his existence and power, as well as his tremendous love for us. I think this for a second. Okay, I believe every word of the Bible. Every single word. And if you haven't read it, don't argue with me over it, because I'm going to say, show me how it works. So if I get to heaven and find out that, oh, that wasn't actually 24 literal days, even though the Bible clearly says it's 24 literal days. Do you know why it says that? Evening and morning were the first day. The rising and the falling of the sun was the first day. That's a 24-hour day, give or take a minute. So if you get to heaven and find out, oh, that wasn't it, what does that affect? Nothing. Nothing. It absolutely affects nothing. But if you start arguing over it in front of non-believers, you just ruin his testimony. Because you can't believe that the Word of God is perfect. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Not some, all scripture. And maybe not necessarily in this church, in this building, When you stop arguing over it. No other way of saying it. Dumb stuff. Getting divided over something stupid. Something you can't control. And if you can't control it, why are you trying to control something you can't? Just like in the storm of the passage we were reading. David can't control the storm. Can't control which direction it's going to go. Can't control the storms of life. Can't control who lives or who dies or what dies at what age. Nothing to do with us. We were made for one reason and one reason only. The glory of God. To worship and praise Him. He didn't have to make me. I could have been a non-thought. Just an empty seat in the pew. But He did. So we need to use what time we have left to worship and praise Him. Because one day there'll be an empty spot in the pew. We never know when it's going to happen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, thank You for letting us come together in Your house. In Your house, Father, to study Your Word. Father, my only request is that nobody leaves out of this unsaved. Now is the time to be covered by the blood of Christ. Because tomorrow might be too late. If you live in this country, you've heard the gospel. We understand, Father, that Your Son shed His blood on that cross for us. And He showed us a pathway to redemption by walking out that tomb 3 days later. Father, let us leave out of here and be the salt and the light of the earth. And it's in Your Son's name I pray. Your Son's name I say this. Amen.